You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to season 2 of our podcast Kicks for Free, in which we discuss all things football. I am Dhiman, and with me is my co-host Vivek.
Messi!
A new football season in Europe is set to get underway, with the Premier League in England, La Liga in Spain, and Ligue 1 in France all beginning this week. With the transfer window open till September 1st, teams, of course, will continue to make tweaks and additions, but most of the clubs seem to have made the big signings that they were after. There's still plenty of intrigue about where Kylian Mbappe will end up, but we'll discuss that a bit later. Dhiman, let's start with the Premier League and Manchester City. City have won 5 of the last 6 Premier League seasons, as we all know. Will things pan out any differently this year?
Or will it be similar? Because if anything, City losing the Community Shield can be a pointer in that direction. You know, City lost the last 3 iterations of the season's opening games. And guess who won the leagues in those seasons? City. And since, you know, this is not a team that's weighed down by lack of money, there will not be a Wolves-like situation which leads to the manager leaving because not enough funds are being set aside for buying. That will never happen at City, or the kind of situation between Roma and Jose Mourinho, which Mourinho has subsequently denied. So City can continue to make reinforcements to an already strong squad. So enter Guardiola.
Right. Dhiman, yeah, what do you make of City's new signings? Mateo Kovacic and Josko Guardiola being the prominent ones. Having seen Kovacic extensively at Chelsea, I think he'll slot in effectively, of course, in that Manchester City midfield. He's a wonderful ball carrier and at 29 should still have some of his best years ahead of him. But whether he can fill the void left by Ilkay Gundogan, that's perhaps another matter altogether.
Yeah, see, there you go. I mean, they lose Gundogan and they get Kovacic, who, as you pointed out in your article for Hindustan, was a bit lost at Chelsea. I think that was a bit of an understatement. I mean, you wrote, and I quote, as opposed to his gut-busting runs at Stamford Bridge, often yielding no reward, he will have the astuteness of Kevin De Bruyne and the sharpness of Erling Haaland to work with at the Etihad. So, yes, I mean, with City, there's always a question of bedding in. I mean, look at Grealish. It took him one season just to understand how Guardiola plays. Calvin Phillips has not even been able to do that yet. So, while on the one hand, City have the strength in depth to allow Kovacic the time to settle in instead of, you know, having to fire from the off, that is an advantage. And it's the same with Guardiola. I mean, at the World Cup, I was reminded of what India head coach Igor Stimash had been telling us before we traveled to Doha. And he said that, you know, watch out for the central defender. He said that he will be the next big thing from Croatia. Now, the kind of assurance that Guardiola has on the ball makes him stand out. The confidence with which he reads situations makes him a natural leader at the back, even though he may be the youngest player in the back line. And as someone who loves the ball, he should fit into City's scheme of things. And he's a left-footed player. And left-footed players open up different passing angles. Even for India, we've seen Anwar Ali do that as a left-footed central defender. He completely opens the pitch in a different way, as you would see with a left-handed batter or a left-handed bowler or a left-handed tennis player. I mean, their shots come differently. So everything about them is different. And Guardiola brings that. So I think both of them are serious reinforcements to an already strong squad. And the advantage is that both of them will have time to settle down, as opposed to, you know, other signings. I mean, for instance, Declan Rice at Arsenal.
Arsenal, in fact, were the closest challengers for the title last season. In fact, they led the standings for a majority of it. But City, I guess, did what they do and to edge past them in the end. This is what Pep Guardiola said after the Community Shield.
Reality is what it is. We face an extraordinary team. It happened last season, this season again. So, and we were close. We are a little bit disappointed for the fact that we were close.
And this time, Arsenal have bolstered the squad, spending a lot on Declan Rice and Kai Havertz. And in Hurrien Timber, they also have a ball-playing defender.
Vivek, 248 days. That was how long Arsenal were at the top.
Incredible.
And they're the only team to have not won the Premier League to have led the standings for that long. So, I think ultimately it was their lack of depth. Now, credit to Arteta, because no one really expected Arsenal to make a push for the Premier League in the way they did and in the way they led the standings. But credit to Arteta for being able to take the team there. While the disappointment was acute, I'm sure, and while the disappointment of our fans would be acute too, if you take a step back, you would see that they did not really do all that badly. I mean, they did great. So, ultimately, it was their lack of depth that led to a dip in form towards the end of the season. That loss to Brighton, the draws against Liverpool and West Ham, leading 2-0 in both games. Even the draw against Southampton, even while you could say that they came back and forced a point, I mean, Southampton are a team that are no longer in the Premier League. So you don't expect that from a team that's gunning for the title. So to rectify that, they've made really bold signings in Rice and Havertz. I mean, I think Rice will be a very important player. If he had joined City, he would have, like we discussed, been given some time to adapt, to adjust. But that's not going to happen. And the good thing here is that he made an impact in the community shield. He will provide strength in the midfield. He will be what Ten Hag says of Casemiro, the cement between the stones. And he's a lot younger than Casemiro. So, and with Havertz, you get a tall, strong player to aim for in front and one who's good enough to have scored in a Champions League final against City. I mean, it does seem long ago, given how football works, but it was actually in 2021. And Havertz was, in Arteta's words, superb in his user space and the way he pressed in the community shield. So I think they are going to be very, very important signings for Arsenal.
It feels great. I don't think it gets much better than winning a trophy in Wembley against the best team in the world and doing it the way we've done it. So really encouraging. I think we had some great moments in the game, especially in the first half with three massive chances. But unfortunately, when you don't put them away, you know what can happen. And we had a little error in midfield and don't clear the ball. And the next second, the ball is in the back of the net. And then it's a very difficult game to play. But I think we made the right choices. The changes helped, the formation change helped, and we kept some, we believe, and we kept some momentum there and allowed to win the game, the goal and then the penalties.
Yeah, I think Havertz and Rice both are excellent additions. But I actually think another player who hasn't signed this season but had signed at the start of last season, Gabriel Jesus,
right,
will hold the key as well. He had a strong start, yeah, having signed from Manchester City, but seemed to taper off as the season went on. He also had a knee injury to deal with, which didn't make things easy for him.
Yeah, and again, he's out for a few weeks now, as Arteta has said. So, well, you see, injuries have played a decisive role in Arteta's time at Arsenal. There was Partey and Tierney in 21-22, Saliba last term, and Jesus went missing after the World Cup. Nketiah did fill in and stepped into the breach really well, and he is available now. And so is Leandro Trossard. And now you have Havertz. So, while you would always want a player like Jesus to be available, maybe, just maybe this time, Arsenal look a little better prepared with the signings. I mean, Trossard has had time to bed in. Havertz knows what it's all about. He's played at Chelsea. He's won the Champions League there, as we've already said. And you have Nketiah. So I think while Jesus would be a very important player, Arsenal could be in a better position to be dealing with his absence for a few weeks this time around.
Viman, beyond Arsenal, do you see anybody else really challenging City for the title?
Well, there's been so many changes in the possible contenders that it's difficult to look beyond Arsenal at this point in the season. Like at Liverpool, you have a new look midfield. Manchester United will have to adjust to Andre Onana in goal and Højlund in front. Now, Manchester United's problems, hunt for a striker, went astray ever since Cristiano Ronaldo joined. And then there was the uncertainty around, there still is the uncertainty around Mason Greenwood. So Chelsea have a number of new players and a new coach. And had, you know, having finished where they did last term, I think getting into the top four would be progress for them. And Spurs are unsure about the future of Harry Kane. So no, at this point in time, it is difficult to see any team beyond Arsenal being able to challenge City.
Yeah, as far as Newcastle are concerned, obviously challenging for the title will be a bridge too far, I guess, this season. But I'm still interested in seeing how they fare. Nothing much was expected from them, perhaps, last season, despite the huge investment from Saudi Arabia. Now they are in the Champions League, having finished fourth last year. And they've splurged some money in the transfer market, notably on Sandro Tonali, a defensive midfielder whose reported fee of 70 million euros makes him the most expensive Italian player ever. Can they balance their Premier League commitments with also being part of the Champions League? That will be the big challenge for them, won't it?
I think exactly that will be the first challenge. But I agree with you, Vivek, that Newcastle are a team worth looking out for. Till for the longest time in the Premier League, you have the big four in Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool and Manchester United. Then City and Spurs pushed into that and made it the big six. And this time it is Newcastle who will be the seventh team in the mix. Now, so the Saudi Public Investment Fund has hit the Premier League. And what's not to say that there won't be a loan arrangement between Al Hilal and Newcastle at some point. And who knows where that could take Newcastle going forward.
Right. Well, you bring up Saudi and I'm reminded of Kylian Mbappe given the transfer saga that's going on. Moving on to La Liga, Diman, obviously there's a lot of speculation whether Real Madrid will try to sign Mbappe this summer or perhaps wait till his contract expires at PSG at the end of the next season. It's obvious that Real want Mbappe at some point, but how do you see the situation developing?
Well, Mbappe is in training with the first team as we speak at PSG, and who would have thought that was possible when the World Cup ended last year? Yeah. This is an evolving story, but you can't really blame PSG. They are within their rights to seek value for money and not let Mbappe go for free. You'd be daft to be doing that. And Real are unlikely to pay PSG what they want for Mbappe now that they sense desperation from both the player and the club. I mean, this season, PSG would be looking to sell Mbappe. And this season, Mbappe would want out. So either Real get Mbappe for a little cheaper, as you had mentioned in your article, you know, Messi shaved a few $1,000 off Guardiola by that by that piece of mastery, magic in the World Cup. So either this situation forces PSG to sell Mbappe for a cheaper price, or Mbappe goes to a place where he doesn't want to go. So this is something that'll be an evolving situation now. And with the way things have evolved between Mbappe and PSG, some part of me wants to believe that they'll all be happy. And, you know, in a couple of weeks, we'll all see a new deal or whatever, because this has happened in the past. But if that happens, you never say never to in these situations. But it is very unlikely that Mbappe will go to Real at any point of time in the future. But right now, I think Mbappe's mother, who represents her, is the more important person in this entire equation than Mbappe himself.
Diman, just to add to that, Real, obviously, Benzema has moved to Saudi Arabia. Do you think Real will be influenced by that? The fact that they probably haven't got a proper replacement for Benzema, will that influence things in any way regarding the Mbappe transfer?
Well, they would love to have Mbappe. That's a no-brainer. But unlike the clubs in Saudi Arabia, every club in Europe is bound by certain rules and every club in Europe is actually struggling. Either beat the financial fair play rules or you know, there's general lack of money in the sport, which has made the Saudi Arabian interest in top players in Europe come as some kind of a windfall for these clubs. I mean, Wolves made a lot of money by selling players to Saudi Arabia for the kind of price that they wouldn't have got in Europe. So I am thinking that, you know, it is true that they would want Mbappe. But whether they would want Mbappe at the price PSG wants is the challenge, because they can wait. They can wait till January, at which point Mbappe starts negotiating on his own because he has 6 months left on his contract. And Mbappe comes possibly for a free. Now, unless PSG managed to sell him somewhere, which given the kind of financial situation across Europe in football, looks unlikely. So either he goes to a club in Saudi Arabia or he goes to the MLS or wherever, which again would mean a massive calm down for Mbappe, because even if he were to move to Real thereafter, it would be like taking a demotion to seek to get a job that was almost like a parallel move. I don't know how this is going to pan out, but it is not looking good for Mbappe for once. It is not looking good for Mbappe because PSG have put their foot down here.
Regarding PSG, Diman, things don't seem plain sailing there either. Obviously, there's the Mbappe thing. Apart from that, there have also been reports that Neymar is looking to leave PSG. Luis Enrique has just become PSG manager, but he seems to have a very tough job on his hands. Do you agree? Do you think that the PSG project is crumbling in any way, or what do you make?
Maybe they are course correcting. You know, I think what has happened at PSG is that the emphasis on Galacticos has sort of waned. And it's ironic that Mbappe wants out now, because with Luis Campos as sporting director, reportedly on Mbappe's recommendation, PSG are doing what Mbappe wanted. They are building a team. They are not building a constellation. So Lucas Hernandez has joined. Milan Skriniar has joined. Manuel Ugarte has joined. Lee Kang-in is there. Marco Asensio is there. And Goncalo Ramos is the latest to have joined the PSG stable. So they are actually a decent team. A decent team that always has the advantage of, you know, playing with a handbrake on in the league, in the local league, which is not the same for any team in England, which is not the same for at least, you know, Real, Barcelona and Atletico do make a case for themselves in a push for the Premier, for La Liga. And you have a Sevilla. So here, while other clubs are keen on making a mark, PSG not winning the league is something that isn't even contemplated going into a season. So they have got a good team, and they've got a team that can, you know, pace themselves through the league and focus on the one thing that they haven't won yet, which is the Champions League. So I think it is possible that, you know, PSG are finally getting things right. And if in the process Neymar leaves, they may not miss him much, just like, you know, Manchester United didn't when Cristiano Ronaldo left. And whether that makes PSG good enough to win the Champions League is, of course, something that we'll have to wait and see.
That was it for this episode. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Twitter handles at Vivek9301 and at DemanHT. If you're a true football fan, you cannot not subscribe to Kickoff, our weekly newsletter on the World Game, which hits inboxes every Friday. For more updates on this podcast, follow HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.